I saw Muddy Waters perform when I was 16 years old, and I had been messing around with harmonica and was in love with music, but I didn't really have a direction or really, I guess, drawn to wanting to be in a band until I saw a performance of a great legend like that.
You said harmonica. What all do you play?
I play guitar as well, but on shows, it's mainly just harmonica and singing.
So Muddy Waters, age 16, that could be a life-changing event.
It was. It was, absolutely.
Where was the venue?
It was at a place called the Bellray Ballroom in a suburb of Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, in Moundsview, Minnesota.
So take me back to that. I assume it was a night.
Correct.
Okay. You're 16. All-ages bar?
No. No, it was, I wasn't aware of the fact that you did have to be of legal age, which was only 18 at that time. Mm-hmm. But still, I made it as far as the foyer, and I was stopped, and they're like, you can't go in there. But what happened is, I stood in the foyer, and I watched the show, and I was just enamored. I mean, I was just glued to it. I just stood in the entryway, and then at the very end of the night, like during the encore, they must have stopped liquor sales, and the door guy says, go ahead, you can go in there. And I ran right up to the front, and Muddy was doing Got My Mojo working, and ironically, he came off the stage and started like giving people fives and stuff like that, and he came right up to me and gave me some skin.
Did you go home like that night and... You know, I mean, just immerse yourself more in music then?
Well, that was definitely the show that turned me into the blues freak that I am today. I mean, I don't know if I'm an audiophile because, you know, the equipment that I play records on is not, you know, real high-end stuff, but I'm a collector, definitely a collector and kind of a self-proclaimed expert on blues music to some extent anyways. Chicago blues of the 50s.
Mm-hmm. Do you see part of your role when you do a show as part, this might sound stuffy, education?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, they're the same, the blues will never die. So it's kind of a thing that you just want people to, you know, some people discover it for the first time. It's always a real pleasure when someone comes up to me and they're like, what kind of music is this? They don't even know what it is. And I'm like, well, this is blues.
You have a recent CD. What's it called?
It's called Make It Good.
How do you know you're ready to start recording the CD?
For me, the recording process is I just set a date, or in this case it is on a record label. And when I have a date, I need a deadline. And then I start writing songs, and then the ideas come.
So you get the deadline, then you start writing the songs.
For the most part.
That
I mean, there's
so
always
scary.
Well, there's you know, at home right now, there's bits and pieces of songs all over notebooks and that kind of thing. And when it comes to recording, I'll like grab all those bits and pieces, and sometimes songs that I think were going to be four individual songs. Well, like, wait a minute, this fits together like a jigsaw puzzle, and then you get one song out of it.
Which is more rewarding for you, having written a song, recording it, knowing it's done, or playing it live?
That's a strange question. I've never been asked that question before. You know, they're all quite rewarding. I mean, you know, performing is, you know, that's a zone that you get in that's just really hard to describe. It's... You know, there nothing else comes in your head, I mean, when you're playing.
So at the library, because you're part of the Music on the Mountain series, I know you don't have a playlist, but at some point you have to decide what you're going to open with because you open.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, and that will depend a lot of times on what the audience feels like, how many people are there, and it's just, you know, whether you come out charging or whether you come out taking it easy or... It really depends on the attendance.
Well, I'm sure people will get to hear something off your new album. Is there a particular song that you're excited to perform for people?
Yes. Yes, there's a song. Well, I'll be doing a few off the...
Well, sure, but do you have a favorite?
Well, we'll do Minnesota Woman.
Minnesota Woman.
And there'll be another title off the record that I'll be doing on live shows called Up to the Brim, which is a take. There was a great blues artist by name of John Brim. So this is kind of instrumental, kind of in his vein of music.
Can you tell me a little bit about him? Because I'm unfamiliar with him.
Well, John Brim was, a very obscure Chicago blues artist. He wrote a song that became very famous by Van Halen did Ice Cream Man, and that was his song. Sometimes here you need something to keep you cool. I got something for you. That was a John Brim song.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. He was a deep blues artist, recorded in the, somewhat prolific in the 50s in the Chicago area. He's actually from Gary, Indiana.
Okay.
Do you ever think about, you might be someplace, and there might be some lanky 16-year-old boy or girl out there, and they're getting moved, maybe, like Muddy Waters moved you?
It happens. You know, it's happened on occasion, and with, recorded music, that's the cool thing is, now you get emails from just, all corners of the earth, and a lot of times but there has been occasions where a young person that tells me that, hey, I'm only 17 years old, and I've really gotten into this music through listening to the recordings of you, and I was like, wow, that really makes it worthwhile.
Well, you'll be at the library on the 24th. The previous CD was Knowledge You Can't Get in College.
Mm-hmm.
The latest CD is titled?
Make It Good.
People can find out more?
Well, my website, rjblues.com, and this record is going to be on, is on Delta Groove Records.
I look forward to the performance.
Yeah, me too. Can't wait.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
I got particularly interested in personalized search because one of the biggest issues whenever you start dealing with text is the whole problem of ambiguity.
Mm-hmm.
So computers are very good at processing things that are not ambiguous. Programming languages, the reason perhaps that people have trouble programming is that those languages are designed to be very specific and every word has exactly one very specific meaning. But when we talk, words have very many meanings, and we don't even agree on how many meanings they have. It depends on the dictionary you pick up, whether wrong.
I saw Muddy Waters perform when I was 16.